Now, we are told here, verse 4, and I'm reading that now, then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Now, as the Shekinah glory that was in the holy place, confined there, denoting the approach of these people to God, why, the glory leaves, apparently the holy place between the cherubims, and now hovers over the temple to see if the people will return to God. Now, verse 5, and the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court, like the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. It came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubim, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubim into the fire that was between the cherubim, and took some of it, and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubim the form of a man's hand under their wings. Now again, this hand denotes activity of God in performing certain things. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, finger work actually. This universe is the finger work of God. Now, when God redeemed man, why, it was greater than creation. Because Isaiah said, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the bared arm of the Lord revealed? Now, the only way I can understand the work of God is to use a term that I'm acquainted with. I use my fingers to do certain things, my hands to do other tasks, and my arm to do even heavier tasks. Now, the greatest thing God has done is to perform the wonderful redemptive love displayed at the cross of Christ. That was his bared arm. Now, when God created the universe, he just used his fingers, or as John Wesley put it, God created the universe and didn't even have to try. Now, what we have here is the hand of God moving in judgment. Now, verse 9, and when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub, another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was like the color of a beryl stone. Now, I take it that the wheels were going around, and have you ever watched a wheel when it goes around? There's that flashing light, you know, like a precious stone. And I think these wheels are in ceaseless activity, and it speaks of the fact that God is busy. The Lord Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And he's been keeping very busy since he ascended back to heaven, because he has to keep us saved. And that's no easy job. Maybe not for you, but this for me. Verse 10, and as for the appearance, they four had one likeness as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place toward which the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. Now, God never has to come back, pick up something he forgot. He doesn't have to deviate from one side to the other. He never detours. He goes right forward today for the accomplishment of his purpose in the world. That's the vision that's here. It's a tremendous vision. Now we're told here, verse 13, and as for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel, speaking to what we think is inanimate. But this is something else we're looking at. And every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second face was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. The fourth, the face of an eagle. Now, I know that it's highly figurative, and I would not want to press it, but I think you have the four gospels set before us here. I think that you have in the face of an eagle, you have deity represented. That's the Gospel of John. The face of a lion, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the king in the Gospel of Matthew, and the face of a man, that's the Gospel of Luke. Now, the face of a cherub that we have here, cherubim, that leaves Mark. And in Mark, he is the servant. He is the one who shed his blood. The ox is sometimes, it's in the picture, the figure and the vision we have in Revelation. He shed his blood that you and I might live. And the cherubim looked down upon the blood. In other words, he made a mercy seat for us. Now, verse 15, and the cherubim were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Kibar. Now, that was the first vision in chapter 1. And again, I must repeat that all of this, you see, goes back to chapter 1. Now, verse 18, then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubim. Now the glory of the Lord lifts up from the temple. He's leaving now the temple. Verse 19, and the cherubim lifted up their wings, mounted up from the earth in my sight. And he saw this as they mounted up. And as he moves out, and as for the likeness of their faces, this is verse 22, they were the same faces which I saw by the river of Kibar. Their appearances and themselves, they went everyone straight forward. I think this is a vision that sets before us that God will become incarnate. Or as John put it, the Word became flesh.